Hello, I'm Chad, and I'm going to be sharing my testimony tonight. I was raised in a dysfunctional Christian family. My father left when I was two, and I grew up with my mom and older sister. And while I maintained a relationship with my father, it was strained. He was not around for the important moments in my life. I would sit at the four-person kitchen table with my mom and sister and wonder why he couldn't be with us. I wanted a father that would be more involved in my life than just an occasional phone call or an annual vacation visit. It felt like a puzzle piece was missing in my life. As I grew, I looked for father figures in male school teachers, coaches, and leaders at church. I would watch for signs or behaviors that might demonstrate what a father should be like. Without a father, I grew insecure. I felt abandoned, unloved, and unimportant. I also became fearful of letting people get to know me because I feared that they too might leave one day. I started a cycle of being good, obeying the rules, and complying with the requests of others to avoid any situation where I might face rejection. Fears dominated my life. When I was 6 years old, my grandmother passed away. This triggered the same fears of abandonment in my heart that I had experienced when my father left. The fear of losing someone that I loved was now a reality. Not very long after this, I asked my mom why people had to die, and she answered my question by first talking about sin. Sin, she said, was a barrier between man and God that resulted in death. At the age of six, I understood that I was a sinner. I had lied, cheated, stolen, coveted, and the list would only get bigger as time goes on. A few years later at church, a teacher in my Sunday school class explained to me that God sent Jesus to live a perfect, sinless life for us and to die in our place. Through trusting in Jesus, I could have a relationship with God. Not long after this, I put my trust in God and lived happily ever after. The end. Actually, it wasn't the end. Life wasn't magically perfect. I still struggled with fears and insecurities. Not long after becoming a Christian, I was exposed to pornography and began to harbor lust in my heart. These struggles made me question my newfound faith in Jesus and doubt if I was really saved. I rationed that a real Christian would not lust or look at porn, and therefore questioned my new identity in Christ. Because my sins were secret, they went unchecked by others and kept me from experiencing the life that God desired for me. I learned to play the game, keeping the appearance of being good and staying out of trouble. I was isolated and emotionally distant. In high school and college, I avoided the parties with alcohol, went to church often, did not cuss, yet inwardly, I was wasting away. In Matthew 23, Jesus speaks to the scribes and Pharisees, comparing them to a cup that is clean on the outside while the inside is full of greed and self-indulgence. He later refers to these religious leaders as whitewashed tombs, appearing beautiful outwardly, yet inwardly decaying. These are harsh words from a loving Savior. But real love does not skirt the issues at hand. I was no better than the scribes and Pharisees. I harbored lust inside of my heart, and like a whitewashed tomb, I was decaying inwardly. Something had to give. I was tired of trying to manage my sin and keep up appearances. I yearned for authenticity and was finally broken over my sin. Through confession to my best friend and a commitment to biblical recovery at Watermark, aka Regen, God began to show me what true freedom in Christ looked like. My insecurities and fears began to dissipate as I unveiled my heart to the men in my recovery group. I received forgiveness and grace not only from God, but also from each of these men who genuinely cared for my well-being. I found healing from the wounds of my absent father and began to walk with the Lord in confidence rather than fear and shame. To the glory of God, I was being transformed from the inside out. Today, I know that my performance doesn't impress God. I cannot mask my emotions and hide behind walls of isolation. This only inhibits my growth and prevents me from walking in true freedom. In this world, we will always wrestle with the deceitfulness of sin, but I have learned that you don't have to struggle alone. If you have secret sin struggles, commit to opening up and confessing those things to God and someone you trust. Isolation is the incubator of sin. God has given us the body of Christ to share our burdens. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." My life's a testimony of how God has restored and confirmed and strengthened me. And I'm still a work in progress. And I pray that each of you would find help if you're here hurting tonight as well. Let's pray before Bron comes and shares with us tonight. Father, thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy that is unlimited. Thank you just for the way you've worked powerfully in my life through other believers, through the body of Christ, that we are not alone in this world. Father, I just pray for everyone that's here this evening that we could just turn off and power off all the distractions and just focus in on what you're speaking to us now in this moment. And as Bron teaches from your word, that you would use that in a way to bring yourself glory. And we pray this in your name. Amen.